Look at that tropical background. I mean, that is gorgeous. So you just moved into this place?
Yeah, we just, well, I moved here on Sunday, which is like, what, 2 days ago.
Oh, wow. So that is absolutely gorgeous. Are you by a beach or it looks very tropical?
Yeah, well, we're about like 10 minutes away from the beach driving, which is like, yeah, pretty close.
Bali?
Yeah, but you know, it's also, it's very quiet because the previous place where we were living, there was a building site right next door and it got to the point that I couldn't hear my thoughts, you know, I just had to get away.
Wow. And you have to get your thoughts, especially when you're here on the edge with me and my brains.
Yes.
There. That is Eugenia O'Liberty. And let me tell you, we are about to have a sex talk for grown-ups, okay? You know, there's so many women that I talk to that have never experienced an orgasm. And Eugenia, she's supposed to be the orgasmic queen. I'm going to ask her about it, okay? Passion and intimacy and self-love and self-care and, you know, being a part of a community. What does that look like now, brains? You know, what is it to get down in an orgy? We're going to ask her all that and more. Thank you all the way from Bali. Our guest today, Eugenia O'Liberty. Hi, baby. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. What an introduction. Amazing. Well,
I'm just serious about the get down. You know, you got to stay at home with the COVID. You better be able to have at least a good orgasm, right?
Right? It makes the whole situation staying at home much better. That's for sure.
Now, I hear that you, I hear in your voice that you have a Russian accent. Somebody told me they get down a little different in Russia when it comes to sexual inhibitions, that you guys aren't restricted. You may be restricted in social issues, but when it comes to sexuality, you're more open. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I come from Russian background. I was born in Latvia in Russian family. And I would say that my upbringing, like there is a lot of shame around sexuality and your sexual self-expression. And, you know, the woman has to be holy to get married, you know, and things like that. Not necessarily that people really follow that very much, but it's like, you have to maintain the reputation of a good girl. You know, you have to, you know, not show yourself that you like, you know, pleasure or sleep around or things like that, that it's good girls don't do that. So yeah, it's a big pressure on women actually. And there is a lot of inhibitions. And as a result, I would say that there is also a lot of tension in terms of sexual self-expression.
You know, well, the shame is associated not only because you're supposed to be a good girl, but sometimes there's been sexual assault. There is, you know, a feeling of unworthiness. And women don't know how to express themselves passionately. They don't know how to have that conversation, is that, you know, baby, this is what I need, or it feels good, you know, right here. Can you do that? Or can we try this? Or, you know, they don't feel like they're able to do that. Where do you think that that comes from?
Well, you know, it's a sexual suppression, and this is for sure. I actually, just last week, I was talking to somebody who cannot actually experience orgasms and have never experienced orgasms, being married, have been talking, not been able to have this conversation with her husband because that there is so much shame and suppression around it, you know, and it's no wonder that women cannot really experience orgasms if their self-expression is compromised. So this is like having a basic conversation with your lover. Like if you allowing somebody into your body, sure thing that at least the minimum you can do is to have a conversation with them about what you like and how you like it.
Right.
You know, otherwise, you know, what is the point of it all?
Well, you know, there's a lot of individuals, men and women, that don't know what they like because they've never explored it. You know, and that comes with masturbation. A lot of parents run into their children exploring themselves. They have no problem when they explore their hands, their feet, their nose, their ears. But when it talks about their genitalia, all of a sudden, this is taboo. This is not something that we should talk about. And sexuality should be addressed at an early age. And I'm not telling you to, you know, explain all of the nano details to your child, but it should be as normal as the nose, as the ears, or as the hands. And when you have that conversation with children, I don't think that it becomes so much of a mystery anymore. It's not something that they are going to sneak around and do because they're familiar with it. But then there's, you know, there's children that have been abused. How do you have that conversation beginning? I want to start with that, and then we'll progress to adults and other things. But how do you begin to have a sexual conversation with a child or a young teen so that they don't feel ashamed and that, you know, knowing that exploring your body is human nature?
Well, you know, kids are very smart, so smart, and they actually learn not but by what they're told, but what they see and they absorb that. So if you're going to be talking to your child about sexuality, but then you're going to be like kind of repressing yourself. And this is what I see very often, you know, the mothers, they would come to the mirror and they would start criticizing themselves. It's like, oh, I'm too fat, I'm too this, you know? And then their kids start taking that on. And like, I see young girls come to the mirror and start talking about what's wrong with their bodies. So it's like having this conversation with your child, it has to start with yourself. It's like, hey, all of us have got body parts, and it's like it's exactly as normal to have, you know, your genitalia, and if someone is doing something inappropriate or doesn't make you feel good, because kids are very sensory, you know, it's like better let me know or let your teacher know or somebody, you know, from the adults, you know. But there is nothing. Like, everyone have got their genitalia. Like, boys have got different looking genitalia.
And the words, these are not dirty words. Penis and vagina are not dirt, and anus are not dirty words. You know, but also, children look at their parents. And they look at the intimacy and the passion. I know my daughter used to say, if you guys don't stop doing that, I'm going to have therapy, because she would always see, you know, my husband give me a little pinch or a little pat or a little kiss or whisper something in my ear and I giggle or something like that. But it is, again, it's the art of seduction. It's warming up to the process. It's feeling good. So as you progress and you get from being a child and you move into more promiscuous parts of your life, being a teenager, really starting to think about, that's okay, Shadow. Okay, Shadow, what are you guys talking about?
Shadow, come here. She's talking to a pool guy. So sorry. Come here, Shadow. So there she is.
Hi, baby.
She's just going to have her with me.
Okay. So, you know, as you progress and you get into your more formative years, you are a young adult, you're moving into that, you know, you've going through puberty, you're looking at your body, you're seeing your genitalia change, you're starting to get an erection, you're starting to, you know, your breasts are starting to form. Psychologically, in your mind, what do we tell young adults as they start progressing into, you know, sexuality and really trying to figure out who they are, what they want to do, and when they want to do it?
Well, in reality, most most of parents actually say, don't touch yourself, don't do this, you right. know? And it's like, I have, like, in the past, I've been in a relationship where my partners had kids, you know, and I just like been observing how my little stepdaughter was like interacting with herself and her body. And as kids, we want to touch ourselves, even at very young age. But what happens actually in reality, as soon as the parents see a kid touching themselves, there's like, stop doing this. This right. is bad. Right. You don't do this.
Or who's done that? Like, or who's done that to you? Who touched you? Who's, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, it's a human nature. This is a part of yourself that it's like, ooh, this is a bit more sensitive. You know, it's like, and as a kid, you're curious about this. You know, it feels different to then touching your hand. So like, I just want to see what's going on there. But kids don't understand that it's like, that's genetic, and they, you know, like have got a different sensory function.
Exactly, sensory perception. And you know what? It feels good. And, you know, but mentally, that is what sex is about. Sex is about mental stimulation. It's not just the actual physical touch. You know, you've got to be into somebody, you know, that's where the orgasm comes from. So as young adults move into more progression into their 20s and 21, they really start identifying with who they are more so. You know, you hear a lot of people that come out, if they're gay, they have a feeling, but they don't really know who they are and what they are until they're able to explore that independently. And finding a partner and finding a person that shares in that loving interest and that loving experience, that makes all the difference when it comes to having an orgasm. Tell us a little bit about the art of having the orgasm, seeing how you the queen.
Well, orgasms, you know, they wasn't available to me for a very long time. Mm. And not because I had like a bad sexual experiences. I had those too, of course, and like, and the past trauma. But basically what was happening that I was bringing, you know, I couldn't trust my lovers that I've been with, because I had a subconscious belief that men want to hurt me.
Oh.
Men want to hurt me. And this is what was like essentially happening. It's like when my body, when my mind is occupied, is like to protect me from attack, you know, it's like orgasm takes place in when you relax. This is essentially what it is.
Yeah. Can you maybe, pause a minute? Can you maybe move the dog in the other room? Because it's going to mess up the interview. Can your friend maybe take the dog out?
Yes, come here. Oh, my friend gonna take my dog.
Okay.
Yes, sorry right, about
wait,
that.
So wait, hold on, let me dial back so we'll have a clean break. So when we start exploring and talking about orgasms, because the orgasm is really in the mind. It's not necessarily in the genitalia. And exploring ourselves with our partners. Tell us a little bit about the art of the orgasm.
Sure. Well, what's very important to understand that orgasm takes place when you're relaxed, when you're, it's really letting go, where you're letting go of all the worries, you're letting go of all the stress, you completely relax yourself and you allow your body to do the thing and you just relax your mind because you can't.
Wait, what's that in the background?
I think, yeah, there is a cleaner's cleaning.
Okay. All right. Let me know when there's good. I can edit this out, but all of that is really going to be very distracting. So just kind of give it a minute.
Okay. Let me just make sure. Yeah. Okay, they nearly finished now.
Okay.
They've been somewhere else, so they just like in here.
Okay. So the art of orgasm is more than just stimulation of your vagina or your penis or your nipples, but the actual art of an orgasm. Tell us a little bit about that and what that looks like, what that feels like. What does a person, how does a person get into the state where they can receive that type of pleasure?
Well, you know, in my opinion, the first and foremost foundation to ability to receive an orgasm is being relaxed and trusting your partner.
Mm.
But when you relax yourself, you let go of the worries. You let go of, you know, thinking what's for dinner. You know,
right.
You let go of like thinking, oh, what is going to happen tomorrow? Am I doing this right? Do I look good? Because usually inability to have an orgasm is actually, we can't get out of our mind. We can't be present in our body. And this is essentially what gets in the way of women and some men, of course, to receiving an orgasm, experiencing an orgasm. Because we are so busy in our mind thinking about work, about kids, about this, about that. Am I doing this right? Maybe something's wrong with me. Do I look good? You know, it's like, is my hair okay? And things like that.
Right.
So what happens is it's very important to learn how you can let go of all the thoughts and be perfectly in your body.
Right.
Connect with your sensations, with your feelings. It's like, how does this feel to me? Do I enjoy this sensation? Do I enjoy this touch? Do I enjoy this kiss? Where does it feel good?
Right.
Where does it not feel good?
Right.
Where does it feel even better, you know? And it's like, how do I enjoy this? So like actually exploring your own body, because what that there is a massive thing that, you know, that somebody gives you an orgasm, like for women is like, it's a guy's responsibility to give me an orgasm.
Right. Like it's a Christmas present. Oh my God, I'm getting the big O.
Here's your orgasm, you baby.
Right. Or you know what is so disrespectful too, is that when you're with a partner that doesn't want to pleasure you, but only wants to receive pleasure themselves. I mean, it's like, if my partner is getting off and getting in, that stimulates me. That excites me.
Right. But you see, it's all in communication, because there are times when I just want to receive, but right. There are times when I actually want to give.
Right.
There are times when, you know, when I maybe want to play with some, you know, dynamics, maybe that there are like some role plays I want to do. Maybe there are some like blindfolds or like some other things that I want to do. And that's all in communication. It all starts with you actually acknowledging your desire. But what happens again, because there is so much shame and it's like, oh, the good girls don't do that. Or right. For the guys also, you know, the guys actually, a lot of men, they put sex so much on pedestal that it becomes unattainable for them. There is so much pressure around of like having the actual penetration that by the time that they get to the point of, you know, intimate setting, they cannot perform because there is so much pressure. It's like, am I doing this right? What if I can't pleasure her?
Right.
You know, and it's like all this responsibility. We're actually forgetting that we are individuals. You know, I am responsible for my pleasure. Mm. I am responsible. Like as soon as we take responsibility for our experience, we can actually show up in the world and with our lovers in a way that it's like, hey, you are individual and I'm individual and I'm choosing to spend this, you know, saucy steamy time with you because I want to explore your body and I would love for you to explore my body. And this is how I see this. This is what I want. This is what I would love more of, you know, and like ability to stop the experience at any time. It's also important knowing that it's nothing to do with you, but if I feel, you know, a certain way that doesn't feel good to me, I want, you know, be able to stop this without feeling that, you know, offending you or like, you know, hurting your feelings.
Right. Because again, there's other things too. Now, you know, as people progress, they have a different sexual appetite. As you said, you know, there may be a blindfold. There may be bondage. There may be group sex. There may be open relationships, because now there's a lot of polyamorous relationships where people are open to that. I ain't open to it, okay? I keep my booty on restriction. But there are people that that enjoy that and understand that. That is a whole mindset. What do you say to individuals that might want to explore opening up their relationship to a third party or not having the monogamy confines and restrictions?
You know, I actually was working with a few people who are in a long-term relationships and were like exploring opening up their relationship to like, I was working with a guy who is into cuckolding.
In who?
Into cuckolding, where you know his wife, his partner, having sex with other men, but he is devoted to her.
So you call that cuckolding?
Yeah, cuckolding. Yeah.
I thought you was putting a grip on it. I didn't. I never. Okay, all right. You learn stuff on the edge, brains. Okay, all right. So finish telling me.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, and it is such a big step, especially for the couples who have been in monogamous relationship for a long time, because that there is more, you know, there is more kind of stakes at risk, if anything, right? So it's like it's very important to do and explore these dynamics in a way that feels good. And again, it's all based on communication. It's like setting up the container for people where they actually can openly talk about their desires without feeling like a shame. Because what again, shame and guilt is such a fundamental emotions that we feel, especially when we express in ourselves. Because like, let's say I'm in a relationship with this guy and I'm going to come up and say, you know, it's like, hey, baby, you know, after 20 years, I want to experience other men. And it's like immediately the first emotion that is like, oh, what? Am I not good enough for you?
Right, right,
am I not enough for you? You know, and it's like, and sometimes people might not say that, but they will think that. And that will cause the resentments to arise. And then essentially it's like, you know, you don't gonna wash the dishes, right? And it's like, it's a big argument
after
bottling this up. So having the open communication is the foundation to any relationship, in my opinion, you know, being able to come up and say, it's like, hey, baby, you know, I actually was thinking that I would love to explore, you know, having sex with somebody else. Or I was thinking that I would love to explore using some toys. I was like, you know, different dynamics, like whatever that is, you know, like having no expectation of your partner to say yes, but also not to have an inhibitions of expressing what you want, what is important to you.
And I think that one of the biggest fears too is that you're gonna like the other get down. You know, you're going to like how that other person satisfies you. And then all of a sudden you're going to, you know, you're going to shift and it's going to really change things. But polyamorous relationships, I mean, this is where people have a dedicated third party, fourth party that they're having relationships with, and everybody mentally is okay with it. So that's letting you know that the sex is one act, but the relationship is a totally different beast within itself. Am I correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in the relationship, I would say our lovers, our partners would show us the most where we need attention, you know, which part of ourselves we love or we need to love more. It's like, right. Because, but then again, the main relationship that anyone could possibly have, like we also busy looking for the one, forgetting that the one is actually yourself.
Brilliant. 100%. Because, I love that.
Yeah, because
that person is yourself, right?
Absolutely. It's like we are so fixated finding the one, when it's like actually the one is myself.
Right.
It's what is your relationship with yourself, because that relationship will set the tone to all other relationships with your spouse, with your partner, with your children, with your family, with your friends, with anybody. The way you treat yourself, other people gonna reflect that to you. And when you learn to treat yourself with the love, care, and respect that you desire from other people, your world is going to shift. Then you're gonna start learning, like accepting only the energetical, you know, minimum that you set in terms of like, how do you want to be treated? I was working with this guy and he kept on saying to me, every time when I meet like a new person that I want to spend time with, you know, we would arrange, you know, to go for a meal, for a dinner and things like that. And they would actually like drop me out in the last minute. You know, they just would like not show up or, you know, let me down basically. So he lost his trust in people. And he's like, I don't understand why this is happening. I'm doing like everything to, you know, to please them. But what happens, I just been dropped all the time. And I asked him a question. I was like, so tell me, what is your relationship with yourself? It's like, do you have time for you? He's like, well, no, because it's not as important, you know, as other people. And I'm like, if you don't feel that for you spending time with yourself, for yourself, is not that important, why would that be important to other people?
Exactly. Because again, like you said, it all starts, you know, it all starts with you as the individual, knowing what you want, being able to communicate what you want, and then feeling what you want and being able to receive and process that feeling.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some freaky get down.
There's all
people,
right.
That, you know, there's people that, you know, like to use, again, like I said, toys and manipulatives. They like bondage. They like suits, you know, and sexuality is between your legs, but gender and orgasms and pleasure is between your ears. Am I correct?
Well, you know, sexuality is such a, like, I believe that sexuality is actually in everything we do. Hmm. It's a life force. It's something that allows us to get up in the morning and, like, you know, you can eat a fruit and it can be a sexual act. You can, you know, dig a garden and it can be a sexual act. You know, it's like there is sex in everything we do, actually. You know, it's creation. So our genitals for sure are between our legs and they're like perceived as the main, like, you know, main act in a way, like penetration.
The life force, right, the life force.
Yeah, so the life force energy, this is the energy that actually gives us vitality. It's the energy that keeps us, you know, enjoying life. Mm-hmm. It's actually connecting us with enjoyment of life. So when people are disconnected from their sexuality, in fact, I believe that they cannot really feel, you know, joy of life fully.
Right.
And orgasm, for sure, it happens, you know, in between our ears. Yeah, right. It's the perception. It's right. Like something, it's more mental than it's like.
Well, you know, men, for example, that have erectile dysfunction, mm-hmm. they feel that there is no pleasure in their life, that my penis won't get hard, so now life is over, you know, but there are so many other ways that they can be pleasured, or they can pleasure someone else. How do you work with a man that may have erectile dysfunction?
Well, again, it's all psychological. Mm. It's all psychological. So men who have an erectile dysfunction, most of the time in my experience throughout my work, they worry a lot. Mm. They worry a lot. They have a lot of things. Again, they cannot relax. They're spending more time in their head than in their body. Mm. So what happens, and also for the men who have a premature ejaculation, is the same thing. It's like that there is, they're more in their head than in their body. And I can tell you that I was working with one guy, and he couldn't last. He couldn't last. And he's like, oh my God, I so want to, you know, continue with like making love to my wife, but I cannot last. And I'm like, what are you thinking about when you are making love to her? And he's like, well, because they're also in open relationship, they're also in polyamorous relationship. And he's like, I'm just like, keep thinking about all these, you know, situations where we've been making love with other people and it's just so hot and everything. I was like, well, you need to get out of your head and get into your body. Start breathing, connecting with your body. Start feeling the feelings instead of like being somewhere else. Mm. And like immediately, it's like immediately he could improve his time, you know. Wow. And the same with the men who have got erectile dysfunction, there is a lot of worry going on. Again, am I doing this right? What if I can't please her? Like that, all of the thoughts, they just don't allow men to have pleasure. And, you know, and essentially their penis gives up. It's like, I'm not going to even try because I don't think that I can make it.
Well, what happens when you run into the king of the ding-a-ling swing? That's what we call it, okay? When he just can't get enough. You know, there are people that are obsessed with this. And I hear that, well, I've been through, you know, therapy and this, that, and the other. I understand that. But I don't believe that there is a therapy on the world that can really control that. You have to control that within yourself. But what if you have these people that are just overly sexed, and not just men, okay? Not just men, but women too. There are some people that just cannot get enough. What do you say to that person? Because that can be a problem too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, like that there is addiction to sexuality. There is addiction to sexuality and sex. And actually what happens that we look for some sort of gratification through sex, validation through sex. It's like the same like addiction to any drugs or alcohol or cigarettes. It's addiction to sex is on the same spectrum. It does something to you so that you are not dealing with something else.
Okay. And so it becomes a problem.
Okay. Yeah.
So now let's move on to the multiple get downs. There's people here in, you know, Los Angeles. I'm just going to use it as an example. I had another person on there that hold, you know, orgies and multiple sex parties. Not only is that a little confusing to me, but it can also be dangerous. Mm. But you say, but then it can be pleasurable. What do you what do you say to people that enjoy that lifestyle or interested in introducing themselves to that lifestyle?
That's a great question. Because I see a lot of curiosity around, you know, sex parties and BDSM parties and like BDSM experiences. And I also see a lot of people being traumatized as a result, because they are not clear about their reasons why they are there. Mm. That's the main thing. I see a lot of girls, they go into BDSM scene, think like wanting to please their guy.
Right.
This is what. So it's like, in my opinion, being clear on your intentions to go to like swingers party or BDSM party, you know, you have to have a clear intention.
You said VDSM?
BDSM.
What is that? What is that acronym for?
So it's bondage, domination, submission, and masochism.
Oh shit, that's on and popping. Yes. Whip me. What do they say? Pull my ass, pull my hair, slap my ass, and call me a bitch.
Right. It's like it's a lot of that happening there, you know?
It's a lot. And so, you know, sexual inhibitions, mm-hmm. And being hypocrites about sexuality is huge here in the United States. I've traveled around the country and I've seen some things on the beach. It's like, wow, you know, women don't care about having a big belly or having cellulite on their butt. They're exposed naked. What mm-hmm. is it about the human body that have people so uptight?
I think that, you know, in media that we have like some imaginary perception of beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I think lots of people, men and women, are actually striving for some unattainable image that, you know, being portrayed by media. It's like that the beautiful looks like this.
Right.
And we are forgetting that there is the whole variety of beautiful, and each person is unique and individual to their beautiful. Like, you know, and beauty is within you, and then right. it shines out. You know, it's like when you actually, you know, like, let's say, are skinny and, you know, and on the outside, everyone's like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. But on the inside, you just like thinking about how to have next operation
right.
and like do the next liposuction. It's actually right. disability.
Right.
It's emotional trauma again, because like when is enough? When right. is enough?
Or you want these oversized boobs or this big injecto booty. I don't know how those girls are doing it with that big old butt now, you know, but they're getting all of the stuff put in their bodies. And then they forget that they're going to get old and it's going to sag, or you're going to have to maintain it. Or you may have, you know, problems with leakage and causing cancer and all these other kind of things. So the beauty actually has to start within your head and within your heart. And then beyond that.
For sure. The beauty, you know, actually, almost everyone that I work with has got their issues that they're not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, but there's some, I'm not enough of this, or I'm too much of that, or I'm not enough and too much at the same time. That has been my thing, actually. I was not enough and too much at the same time.
Right, right. That's what we say you're doing the most.
right, because it's like it's always a hamster wheel happening in your head. It's like, how do I be more of this? How do I be less of that? When actually the reminder is there, you are enough. You are enough of everything. You're perfect amount of everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like the right people are going to appreciate that in you. But it's like, but that is a bonus. But when you learn to appreciate that about yourself, that you are enough and your sexuality is enough and what you do in the world is enough. And it's like, and it's only up to you whether you want to do more or less.
Right.
Because like when you try and like I was mentioning earlier about those girls, actually women that I know that they've been going into BDSM scene to like please their guy, please their man, and right. they eventually ended up being traumatized is again because thinking that they have to do more of something because I am as myself, I'm not enough. I have to prove that I'm like lovable. I'm a freak.
Yeah, right? That I'm a freak, that I'm down for whatever. Right. Let me go back to, there's two things I want to talk about. The first one is homosexual relationships mm-hmm. are very different, you know, and that people don't, that are not homosexual or gay or lesbian, they don't understand that. And people always want to put a gender role. Okay, who's the man? Who's the woman? Who's the bottom? Who's the top? You know, all of those type of things. When a person is going through that self-exploration of, again, their sexuality when it comes to homosexuality, what are some advices or some suggestions that you can give them as far as maybe coming out or feeling comfortable or even being with a partner? Because, again, this is a general statement. Get mad at me if you want brains. But I find that homosexual relationships tend to be a little bit more promiscuous than heterosexual. Maybe, I don't know if it's the culture, if it's the lifestyle, if it's the seeking, if it's the, you know, not being clear or understanding who they are in this process and trying to find themselves. Help me understand that.
Well, you see, the top, the bottom, like essentially all, like the spark and magnetism and excitement in relationship happens when there is attraction, when there is polarity. And polarity happens when there is a masculine and feminine energy. So naturally you will find a more, attraction in couples who are masculine, more like one person is more masculine and one person is more feminine. So this is what happens. And that is like in straight relationship, in gay relationship, and in like lesbian relationship, you know, you name it. So it doesn't have to be men more masculine and women more feminine. It can be other way around. It doesn't have gender. But we all have got this feminine and masculine energy within us, and it's like whichever one we choose to bring up at any time is going to create your experience at that time. So a gay relationship, I know a lot of gay couples who are actually in monogamous relationship and they are absolutely not playing with the idea of inviting other people into their relationship, but there is a lot of gay relationship that are very curious and open about their experiences and seeking for more. And I think, again, it depends on individual choice. It's like, what are you comfortable with?
Right.
It's like, and how, in terms of like coming out to your family and friends, it can be like the biggest thing ever. And I know people who are very bravely, you know, been coming out and sharing their experiences, you know, with their families. And it's, and some of them did go really well and some of them didn't, you know, but it's like, it's actually knowing in yourself that it's like, hey, I'm feeling this way. And I know, like, in fact, one of my best friends, her stepdaughter, she is a teenager and she have admitted that she feels like she's a girl trapped in, that she's a boy trapped in a girl's body, you know? And it can be such a tough, you know, thing to process.
Absolutely.
For parents and herself when you don't really understand yourself what is happening. But then again, I think communication again is the foundation to everything, that you're not holding all of those emotions in yourself. And if you don't feel comfortable to talk to your family and friends, find like a specialist who you can talk to, who can actually support you. Because the worst thing that you can do is to keep all of those emotions bottled up, all of that confusion bottled up, not understanding whether you're coming or going, whether you're gay or lesbian, or, you know, like transsexual, maybe you're boy trapped in a girl's body, maybe you're girl trapped in a boy's body. You know, it's like there is so much going on, and like not knowing sometimes it's very confusing. And I
and brains, this is a different world now. You know, the most important thing I think that parents can do, number one, is listen. You have to understand that you are their parent, but this is not your life journey. This is not your, you can't control this.
No.
What you can do is more harm. Yes, it's shocking, you know, to find out that, you know, your 15-year-old son feels that he should be a 15-year-old girl, or to find that, you know, your daughter is sexually attracted to women. And the first thing we think about is, oh, I'm not going to have any grandchildren. Very selfish. It's not about you. It's what your child is going through mentally, physically, emotionally. How are they going to deal with society? How are they going to be received? What's the church going to say? You know, all of these things are rattling around in your child's head. But the only person that they have to turn to and to rely on is you as their parent. And so you have to, you know, put your big girl and big boy panties on and listen to what they're saying. Maybe it is a part of their life that they're just curious, but they have to go through that. You know, it's like driving a car. If you ever get behind the wheel, you're never going to know if you're going to be able to run the vehicle. And that's how life is. It's like driving a car. But let's drive back a little bit. We've talked about some great sexual stuff here in the United States. I don't know what it's like in Bali, because it seems like it's real cool in Bali, that this is not even the problems that you're having there. But the art of flirtation, give us some suggestions, because with the Me Too movement, I don't even know how a man or a woman are, it's gonna, you know, show affection or attraction to someone. They're scared they're gonna get their eyes scratched out. We're talking about the art of seduction. How does a person, you know, bring sexy back? Women don't know how to sit there and flirt like they used to, and bat their eyes or cross their legs or have a little cleavage, or, you know, they don't want people to get close enough to you to smell your perfume. Men are afraid to approach women because they don't want to seem to be overly aggressive, but that's the testosterone. That's the, you know, that's the rawr in them. How do you bring sexy back? How do you start to flirt again?
This is such a great question, because I love flirting. It's like, it creates so much aliveness in my body. It's just like, does something to me, you know, it's like all this playfulness. I love it. And, I think the first thing about flirting is confidence.
Is
actually being confident into like, hey, baby. You know, I see also why lots of people don't flirt, because they are scared that they may give people a wrong idea about like that it has to lead somewhere. But in fact, flirting, it can be as just like momentary experience as, you know, as you want. It could be, it's like just a brief conversation, like coming to a bar and like, for example, and it's like flirting with a bartender, because it makes this interaction is more exciting for me personally.
Well, it's very erotic. It's very sensual. It's very sexy. It's very powerful. Like you said, it shows an air of confidence. It can be fun. It can be fun, but it also leads to the art of foreplay. And, you know, you need to warm it up, the machine. You can't just, you know, It's not a light socket brains. You don't just take the plug and stick it in and get a charge. You know, you've got to warm it up, you know? And so even with, you know, with sexual stimulation, you know, kissing and fragrances and the art of touch, tell us a little bit about foreplay.
For sure. And like I like to say, you can't fry a dinner on a cold frying pan.
Absolutely.
So I think that actually that. Cheers to that. Cheers to that, brains. That's and fine. I can tell you for sure that, you know, flirtation doesn't have to lead to sex,
right.
But it's definitely a right direction if you choose to go, you know, into that sexy direction. You know, that actually, in my opinion, sex begins like from the moment that you look into somebody's eyes and right. You can just see it's like, okay, baby, yeah, I would love to explore you. I would love to, you know, get sensual with you. I would love to see what you got.
You see her brains? You see how she got that shoulder roll? You see how she calls you baby? You see how she's smiling and laughing and she's enjoying it? Sex is arousing. I think that it is one of the greatest gifts that God gave us, is to be able to connect in such an intimate way that is very personal, that there's nothing to be ashamed about. If there was, you know, I don't think that we've been given this gift. It's very erotic, but it comes with a lot of responsibility. And that responsibility is within self. It's in trusting the partner or the person that you choose. It's about being safe and being monogamous if you can. And if you've got a fluent relationship, you still want to be safe because you want to protect the people that you come encounter with. You know, love is not one dimensional. It's not one size fits all. There's a lot of things that people like to do that everybody doesn't like to do. But don't deny yourself the opportunity to explore these things, to grow, to develop, to try something new. Life is not over until it's over. So I want to hear a little bit about the program that you have, because you say you are the orgasmic queen. And so let me hear a little bit about the program and how can my brains get in contact with you if they want to get involved in your programs and do a little bit more deep diving.
Right. Oh, my God. I'm all about deep diving. In sex,
do it, baby. Do it. I ain't mad at you. Go ahead. Do your thing.
For sure. And actually, you know, I'm feeling really passionate about removing all of those obstacles that get in the way of pleasure, that get in the way of orgasms, that get in the way of our human interaction, our intimacy. Because like intimacy, essentially what it means, that you allowing somebody else to see into your soul, into me, you see. And again, that there is so much guilt and shame around it. It's like, what if they don't gonna like it? What if I'm not enough? What if this, what is that? And we start creating all of those stories. So what I'm doing essentially in my work, I help and support my clients to navigate all of those stories that we create throughout our life and actually relax into being yourself. Meet yourself, but your true self, to see who you truly are, what are your desires, and understand what do you really want.
Right.
What excites you? What is your desire? What sparks up your eyes, you know, where it's like, oh my God, I just can't wait to have this thing, you know?
Right.
Whether that's your sexual relationship, whether that's your love relationship, whether that's, you know, your interaction with your partner, like whatever that is, you know, that when you bring your true self to this, and I can tell you that I've been working with so many people around the world, and most of us, we have very similar limiting beliefs. One that I'm not enough, that I'm not lovable, that I can't say what I want or need because, you know, I will be judged. I cannot express myself. And all of that essentially comes at the cost that we don't allow people come close to us.
Well, there's a lot of fear there too. A fear, like you said, fear of rejection.
Yeah, absolutely. So many of us are actually removing ourselves from the possibility of getting close to somebody before the possibility is even there.
Oh, wow. You know? And that's such a disadvantage.
Right. So in my work, I support people to remove all of those obstacles that get in the way of your desire for more pleasure, for more intimacy. And as a result, my clients have an incredible sex. My clients fall in love, have babies, you know, get married. And this is like just, you know, a fraction of what is actually available, because when you feel happy and satisfied and well pleasured, your interaction with the world becomes such a different experience, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely. And there's so much to enjoy in life. Eugenia, you have just been incredible. Thank you so much for opening up a can of worms.
Oh, for sure.
Because people just, they don't want to talk about it. You know, they just want to pretend like it doesn't exist or keep on doing the same thing and not receiving any pleasure. And sex should be pleasurable. It really should. Absolutely. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
So you can email me to eugenia@eugeniaoliberty.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, which is Eugenia O. Liberty, or Instagram. And actually, we can have a conversation if something have resonated with you or sparked up more curiosity about your possibilities or how you can have more of what you want. Please contact me. If you want to know how you can create all that pleasure and more orgasmic lifestyle, I would really love for you to contact me so we can have a conversation and create a possibility for you to have that, all what you want.
Because you deserve that and more. Brain, we are going to continue this conversation here on The Edge because we want to lighten your load. We want you to feel real good from the inside out. We're going to have some erotica reading. Oh, yes, because sound is very important when it comes to sexuality, your moans, your groans, your pants, all of that can take your sexual arousal to a whole different level. So stay tuned for more here on The Edge. Thank you so much for being with me, Eugenia. You are awesome sauce, and I appreciate you and I value you and I love you. Okay.
Thanks so much. And hello, brains.